everybody. Welcome to Game Picks, the NFL preview podcast, where I go head-to-head with my friends from around the NFL. We're trying to see who can cut it when it comes to deciding the winners and losers every week. I'm, of course, your host, Neil Reynolds, and I am, I'm still undefeated week to week on the season. Last week I went 6-8, but I tied with Vernon Kay, who also went 6-8. So for the season, I'm 81-37-1. My guests are 73-45-1. I'm going to bring in now, I've taken on very many members of the media, but not an NFL quarterback yet. So I'm going to need all the luck in the world as I take on my friend Matt McGloin. Matt, welcome.
Hey, that record is pretty impressive, Neil.
And it's just straight up.
I've been following you on social media when you do your game picks. You've done a fantastic job. And here, you know, we had you on my podcast, and we pick, you know, with the spread included, you know, which is difficult as well, man. But the NFL has been so, I think, unpredictable at times this year that 81 wins, man, is really impressive. So, but I've done a little bit of my research this past week, and, you know, hopefully I can compete with you.
I have home field advantage as well, because what I do is, I do pick quite a lot of favorites. If I went to Vegas, I wouldn't put a lot of money on the table. I'd be betting a dollar bill at a time. I'm quite kind of Mr. Safe, you know, driving the middle lane at 35 or something. That's me. But I also, when I'm not sure on a game, you'll probably notice I'll every now and then say, you go first, Matt. And so I like to sort of, you know, see how you're going to play things. So it's all tactical.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, that's a great tactic.
Working so far. I know your story, Matt, of course. Tell us, listeners who you played for, where you played, and your NFL, you know, arc, really.
Yeah, sure, Neil. You know, I started my career playing college football at Penn State. I was undrafted by the Oakland Raiders in 2013, where I made the 53-man roster as a rookie. I spent 4 years in Oakland, and then for a few years after that, I was with the Philadelphia Eagles, the Houston Texans, and the Kansas City Chiefs. And then most recently, I was a part of the 2020 season. I guess you can say the first year of the new XFL league. You know, and then unfortunately, obviously, that league had to shut down due to COVID. But it was a great experience. And, you know, the NFL obviously was a dream of mine to be a part of ever since I was, you know, a little kid. So been around a lot of great players. Been around a lot of great coaches, and you know me, Neil, I'm barely over 6 feet tall. You know, I was 205 210 pounds when I played, so you know, I was just trying to learn as much as I can about the game from everybody I was around, but just love playing football, love watching football, love trying to learn, man. It's such a special game.
All right, well, I hope that you've forgotten everything you've learned for the next 20 minutes or so. Let's get into these game picks. Okay, let's get into these picks then. Matt, we're going to start with the Big Six. So we'll dig into these just a little bit more than the rest of the games. First one up, Seattle at Buffalo. Russell Wilson for MVP?
Yeah, I don't see how you cannot. I mean, the way the guy's been playing, not just this year, but the past few years, has been extremely impressive. He's fun to watch. He makes such good decisions. And, you know, when you look around the league, Neil, a guy like Russell Wilson, I mean, there's so much pressure on him to perform well every single week because, I mean, let's be honest, the team depends on him to win football games. But week after week, he gets the job done. And, you know, my pick for this week, and obviously the Bills have done some great things this year, but I just don't think Buffalo is there yet. They lose to Tennessee. They lose to the Chiefs. You know, I think they're kind of in the same category as Buffalo. Or I'm sorry, the same category as Baltimore to me. Just not ready to win that big game. But Josh Allen has been playing fantastic. But I think it's Seattle, Neil.
Yeah, I'm going to go Seattle as well. I agree on Wilson. I think what's incredible, Matt, and you can tell me this, you're the one who's stood there and taken the snaps in the NFL. He's over 70% as a passer this year, completion percentage. But every week he's throwing bombs away down the field. So it's not like it's just dinking and dunking, is it?
You know, to watch him throw the deep ball is so pretty, and the ability to be so accurate with it, Neil. I mean, the only other guy that I think is comparable right now is Brady. You know, throwing that deep ball, getting that football to turn over and just basically put the football wherever you want. I mean, it's so impressive. And, you know, for a former quarterback, it's really fun to watch.
Just quickly on Buffalo, Josh Allen, does he need to pick it up again? Obviously, it was a red hot start and it's hard to maintain that pace, but it's been a kind of so-so month statistically for him.
Right. Well, and that's what separates, you know, the average quarterbacks and the good quarterbacks in the league to the Russell Wilsons or the Tom Brady's in this league, Neil. And that's consistency. It's can you do it every single week? Can you show up and perform and win the game for your football team week in and week out? And that's, you know, when we're talking about Buffalo, Baltimore is a team I thought of as well, because Lamar Jackson, at least this year, hasn't proven that he can do it every single week in the big time games. Look at what happened last week, you know, against Pittsburgh. So, you know, for as impressive Josh Allen has been and how much he's improved, and again, he's still a young guy, but I just don't think they're right there with Seattle yet.
You're reading the script, Matt, because next on our list is Baltimore at Indianapolis. So a chance for Baltimore to get back on track, which wouldn't be a surprise. And I'm actually picking Baltimore. I'll tell you right now, I'm picking Baltimore to win. But that's kind of where they are at the moment. They can beat everyone else. I think Lamar Jackson needs a big stage win, whether it's, you know, the Chargers in the playoffs 2 years ago, Tennessee in the playoffs last year, Kansas City, now Pittsburgh. There were a lot of points left on the board last week with, you know, the two interceptions, a couple of fumbles. Yes, he was spectacular at times. So I'm picking Baltimore, but we won't really be able to judge this team until they win one of those big ones. What do you think?
You're right, but give me Indianapolis in this game, because I like the way the Colts have been playing.
Good defense.
Since the beginning of the season, exactly. One of the top defenses in football, and I think something that Phillip Rivers is starting to understand now is that he doesn't need to force throws. He doesn't necessarily need to win the game, and look at what he's done the past two games. He's thrown for 371 and 262, and he's completed over 65% of his passes in both those games and had three touchdown passes in both those games. So I think Indianapolis is a very dangerous team, and the reason why I'm not picking Baltimore is because, you know, of what you had just said about Jackson turning out the football over against good teams. I mean, even the Kansas City game they lost in week three, he was 15 to 28 for 97 yards. So this is another big game, another big opportunity for Baltimore, but I think Indianapolis takes this one.
All right. You've made me shift nervously in my seat how confident you were in picking that. You know, if you were kind of like, oh, I'm not sure, but that was bold. So I like it. Chicago at Tennessee. I've put this one in here because I just want to get your take on. I'm going to go Tennessee to get back on track. But where do the Bears go with the quarterback? Because Trubisky was struggling. Then Foles comes in. He's thrown an interception in every game I think he's played since he's come in. Do you go back to Trubisky? Do you stick with Foles? Are both of them going to be gone? It's a big question, isn't it, when you look at the Bears?
Yeah, I don't think Nick has played bad. You know,
right, okay.
Has he played good? I mean, certainly not. But this is a Super Bowl MVP that we're talking about. I mean, this is a guy that can win games in this football league. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan, Neil, of going back and forth between quarterbacks. You know, you took out a starting quarterback for a reason. You signed Nick Foles for a reason this offseason. You know, you've shown you've believed in him. You know, and I've had the opportunity to play with Nick in Philadelphia for a short time. You know, his teammates appreciate being around him. The teammates like him. Everybody gets along with him. He works hard. He's smart. He knows the offense. But it just seems like there's a bit of communication issue now between him and Matt Nagy. It seems like there's some type of wristband dilemma going on that Foles wears the wristband.
Yeah, even last week, and I'm looking at it, we had the main coverage of our games. We had the 49ers and the Seahawks, but I'm looking over at Red Zone and I see Nick Foles standing there, arms out to his side, looking at the sideline late in that game. So, are you going to send me a play? It's like it's not coming in quick enough for him. Something, it just lends to what you say, communication.
Yeah, and, you know, as much as there's been talk about him being from Andy Reid's offense and playing in Doug Peterson's offense, and then obviously Matt Nagy is a product of that Andy Reid offense, but it starts to make you wonder now just how much of that offense Matt Nagy's using and how much of his own offense he's implementing in the system, and does Nick want to run that system, or is he just trying to run Andy's system or Doug's system and stuff that he wants to run and has run in the past? Because, I mean, let's be honest, when we, you know, and this is the last thing I'll say about it, but let's be honest, when we saw Foles was signing with Chicago, I think everybody thought that, you know, he was going to walk right in and perform great because it's Andy Reid's offense. So, but, you know, yeah, at the end of the day, you just don't know what's going on in that playbook right now.
Are you going Tennessee or are you going the Bears?
I'll take Tennessee here. I think there's some problems there in Chicago.
All right. Miami, Arizona. Now, it would be very obvious for me to go down the Tua versus Kyler Murray route here. But I just want to ask you about the coaching, because two coaches who are relatively new to the NFL, one on defense, Brian Flores, one on offense, Cliff Kingsbury. Do you think they've got these teams on the right track?
Well, how about what Flores has done in, you know, his second season in such a quick turnaround? I mean, the Dolphins were a laughing stock of the National Football League last year, and now here they sit 4-3. They have a top 10 defense, and, you know, who would have thought we'd be talking about Miami and Buffalo competing for the AFC East instead of the Patriots? But I'm going to take Arizona in this game, Neil. And obviously they have the top offense in football right now in terms of yards per game. And Cliff Kingsbury, you know, is somebody who is extremely special as a play caller, even going back to, you know, when he was in college, and what he's been able to do with Kyler Murray running and throwing the football, with Hopkins, with Kirk, even with, you know, now Chase Edmonds seems like taking over at that running back position. And, you know, I don't think it was so much of the Dolphins and Tua playing well last week as it was to just the Rams playing bad. Right. But, you know, I think Miami still has a long way to go, and they still have a tough schedule ahead of them, starting with Arizona.
Yeah, I'm going to go Arizona as well. I'm a huge Ryan Fitzpatrick fan, so I really like Fitz, and I know him well, and I'm going to get on the Tua bandwagon. After, I'm going to have a 3-game sulk. So last week was a little bit of a sulk about Fitz. I'll have this one more, then I'll get on the bandwagon. So I'm going Arizona. Pittsburgh at Dallas. I've put this one in because they are two storied franchises. But Dallas, I can't even think off the top of my head who is starting. Is it Ben DiNucci, or is it Garrett Gilbert? Is it somebody else this week? Because Andy Dalton's now gone down with COVID. It doesn't matter. Pittsburgh are going to win. But this is just an example of how the wheels have just come off, and adversity after adversity has been heaped on Dallas, isn't it?
I'm sitting here shaking my head right now, Neil, and, you know, thinking about the Cowboys. And
no, you're looking at your phone, see if you get a call.
It's just like, how I don't understand how you can't find somebody to play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, there are players, yourself being one of them, who
right
who would be smart enough to come in with the veteran smarts to have some of that experience of being around the league, because, yeah, I mean, I don't know, you tell me what you saw with Ben DiNucci. He looked like he was leaving the pocket before he needed to leave the pocket sometimes. I mean, it's tough to throw a young guy out there like that.
It's extremely tough, and having been in that position before as a rookie, it just comes back to preparation. And are you preparing every single day, even when you're not playing, even when you're not getting reps? Are you still staying involved mentally? Are you getting throws in before practice? Are you getting throws in after practice? And, you know, to be honest with you, and I'm not picking on him, he didn't look like he had any clue what was going on out there. And again, you don't know if he just didn't understand the game plan, or if it was just an off day for him or what. But, you know, if I'm sitting there and I'm Mike McCarthy and I'm Jerry Jones, I can't put that kid back out in the football field. So I think they do go maybe in the Garrett Gilbert route or the Cooper Rush route and play one of those quarterbacks who has played a lot more football than DiNucci has. But give me the Steelers. I love what's going on in Pittsburgh right now.
All right, the last one of our big six is New Orleans at Tampa. So this is a game we actually had on Sky Sports in week one, the first meeting in New Orleans. But I think this is a different Tampa team now, certainly in terms of chemistry. And Brady seems to be heating up, and he doesn't look 43, does he?
He does not, and it's it's fun to watch. And, you know, somehow, some way, he's getting better as this season goes on, Neil. And that was some of the early conversations that I've had, you know, with my crew on our podcast, was that I think once Tampa Bay, Tom Brady and company, along with Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians, once they find that perfect combination of what Brady wants, what Leftwich wants, and what Arians wants, it was just going to be very, very good. So give me the Bucks. As much as I've loved what the Saints have done the past 4 weeks, and, you know, four come from behind victories, and you never ever count out Drew Brees. Love watching Drew play, but as you mentioned to start this off, I think this is a different Tampa team, and I think Tampa wins this time around.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tampa as well, and I think it's the entire team. You know, it's the defense is better that way better than it was a year ago. They were good in the front seven last year, but Arians was calling out the secondary. They're good now, and they're making plays. Guys like Carlton Davis are making plays. Gronk's starting to run better and look better. We'll see how they mix in Antonio Brown, I guess, but. It doesn't hurt to load up, I guess, at this stage of the season, especially this of all seasons. So I'm going Tampa as well. Let's go through some of the other games then. Well, we'll go through all the other games. We'll pick them all. Green Bay at San Francisco. So no Jimmy Garoppolo for the next month with a high ankle sprain. No George Kittle for 6 weeks or so. I mean, crikey. Is crikey a word in America? Sorry, I might have just gone very English on you then.
I don't think we use that word very often over here, although I have heard that word before, Neil.
Yeah. Right. Crikey. They have got a lot of injuries.
Yeah, and that's a lot of money that's not playing for the 49ers anymore with Jimmy G out and Kittle out. And I didn't think San Fran was going to be a contender this year anyways. Obviously, the NFC West is one of the better divisions in football this year. So it's going to be a tough year for San Fran anyways. But obviously, like I said, the injuries don't help them. But I think Green Bay bounces back. I think Green Bay gets the win.
I'm going Green Bay as well. What's the American equivalent of crikey? Is it like, God dang it, dang, God?
Yeah, be like, gosh, yeah, like, no, what is, like oh geez, like, oh geez, or oh crap, something like that. Yeah.
We can't use that over here, that one. Another one, call blimey is another very English one.
Okay.
That's a bit Mary Poppins, though. Call blimey, governor. We digress. I digress. You're wondering what you signed up for now, aren't you, Matt? New York Giants at Washington football team. I'm going to go Washington with that. Basically, the defense is what's going to sell it for me there.
Yeah, I'm going to go Giants in this game. You know, I still think Daniel Jones has got a ton of potential. You know, I thought, you know, he's been hot and cold this year in terms of how he's been playing. Obviously, the team hasn't been playing that well. But he's made a lot of great throws. He's made a lot of good plays. And I think they get this win versus Washington.
All right. Detroit at Minnesota. So Seattle trying to let Russ cook this year. I'm just going to say to Minnesota, let Dalvin cook. See what I did there? So I'm going Minnesota. But that's the way, right? That's their route out of this problem they're in.
That's what they're going to have to do. They have to get Dalvin Cook the football. But you don't know what Vikings team is going to show up.
Nor Detroit. It's really hard, this one.
I'll tell you what. Give me the Lions, because I've always been a big fan of Matthew Stafford. Loves the way that he plays a game of football. He's a competitor. And, you know, I don't care what week it is. I don't care who they're playing. I think when you have Matthew Stafford at quarterback, you always have a chance to win the game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Carolina at Kansas City, so Chiefs to keep it rolling on for me. What do you think?
Yeah, Chiefs, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's because Carolina's defense has just been very poor on third downs. Even with McCaffrey potentially returning this week, this is still a Kansas City win.
Houston at Jacksonville. So, I'm going to go exactly the same way you just did for Detroit. I'm going to say, give me Deshaun Watson, and I'll trust in Deshaun Watson. If I can't trust in anyone else on either two teams, I think Deshaun Watson can be a difference maker and is truly special. So I'm going to go Houston. What about you?
Yeah, give me Houston. Jacksonville starting a new quarterback this week in Lutton. So, I think Deshaun Watson plays well and they get that win.
Whenever you need to go and Google the quarterback, which I'm thinking about doing right now, that's going to tell
right?
me.
That's
going to tell me I should be taking Houston, and I am taking Houston. Denver, Atlanta. So Denver had a big win last week. What do you make of Drew Lock? Be interesting to get your take on Drew.
Well, you know, I think this was supposed to be a big year for him. Obviously, there was a lot of potential for him, but he just hasn't done anything really. I think they struggled at times, but obviously last week was a huge win for them, and having played in the AFC West, anytime you get a win against an AFC West opponent is huge for you. I think it's a big confidence builder for you. I think Denver wins this week. You know, Atlanta's 0-4 at home, which is crazy to say, but who knows, maybe this might be a big start for Denver after beating the Chargers there. Give me Denver.
All right, you're going Denver. I'm going Atlanta. I'm starting to get nervous. I'm feeling like my winning run might be coming to an end. We've got a lot of differences here. So let's go to the Las Vegas Raiders at the Los Angeles Chargers. So I will predict this. The Chargers will jump out to a 17-point lead, and they'll lose by one or two. That's 2020. Actually, that's not even 2020. That happened with Philip Rivers as well. They used to blame Rivers for some of that stuff.
That's
painful.
That's been happening for a long time. Yeah. And it's unfortunate because Justin Herbert and then that offense is playing very well right now. They just can't find a way to close games. You know, it's similar to, you know, what went on in Atlanta, you know, early in the season. But I think the Raiders get this win. Look, you know what, Neil? I always say Oakland still. I just can't seem to say Las Vegas Raiders. I continue to say the Oakland Raiders. So, but I think the Raiders win this game. The Raiders are a really good football team, as we saw last week versus the Browns. I think the Raiders, you know, get on a little bit of roll here moving forward.
Yeah, I'm going to go Raiders as well. And I do really like Justin Herbert. But I just think, imagine the pain of being a Chargers fan at the moment. They've lost. So obviously they blew the 21-point lead last week. They've lost 17-point leads twice. They had an 11-point lead once. If they finish them out, they're a playoff team. So there's some frustration there. Last one, New England at the New York Jets. Well, I'm going to say New England. But I think there's some pressure on both these quarterbacks because – you know, Cam statistically is not having a good season, the worst of his career. But I think bigger picture, Sam Darnold's kind of playing for his job in New York, even though Joe Douglas says he's not. And he's sort of doing it with one hand tied behind his back because he doesn't have a lot around him at the moment. Who'd you like in this one?
Yeah, I have to take New England, right?
Go on, take the Jets.
as much as I wanted to take the Jets just to pick against you, I'm taking New England. And look,
I think
you've
done enough to win already. So
New England's defense is good still.
Yeah,
you know, you can and as we know, you can get away with having a decent offense and win football games when your defense is good, right? But you can't win when your offense is brutal, Neil. And, you know, Cam Newton, 15-25, 174 last week. It's just not going to get it done. It's one of the worst passing offenses in the league. And it's hard to watch because I think we all wanted Cam to go into New England and play really well. So It's just been a tough year for New England.
Yeah, the best thing about this game is it's on at like 1:30 in the morning in the UK, so I can just watch the highlights in the morning.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. Yep.
I won't be up watching this one. All right, Matt, let's finish up game picks this week. I'd love to just dig into your career a little bit. Obviously, you mentioned at the start you went to Penn State where you were a walk-on and you end up winning the starting job. Then you're undrafted, but then you end up playing in the NFL. Tell me about perseverance and how important that was for you to get to where you were able to play in the NFL.
Yeah, Neil, I just wanted the opportunity to play at the highest level, and Penn State gave me that opportunity to be a preferred walk-on where, you know, I earned a scholarship and became a starting quarterback there, and then going in the NFL was kind of a similar route. Went undrafted, signed with the Oakland Raiders, and, you know, played there for four teams and then played for a few other teams after that. But I think what it came down to for me, Neil, was just consistency and, you know, being the same quarterback every single day, working as hard as I could every single day, you know, understanding what the coaches wanted from me, just really trying to learn how to play the quarterback position, you know, because I think that's what makes, you know, players last in college and last in the NFL is that really just diving in and understanding how to be good at your position, you know, and I just, like I said, whatever, you know, my coaches were trying to teach me, you know, I bought into it, you know, I was trying to be like a sponge and just soak in everything that I was learning from my quarterback coach and my offensive coordinator. And then, you know, lastly, Neil, what I think is huge for players at any age is that when you're given an opportunity, you need to deliver it. You need to make the most of it, you know, and, you know, whether it's one rep at practice or, you know, you end up starting a game, you need to deliver and you need to prove the moment's not too big for you. And you need to show that you belong.
You'll know we've spoken away from recordings and microphones. My son is a quarterback in the NFL Academy, so I'm asking for a friend. preferred walk-on, because that's something that's been a conversation for Georgia, a couple of big schools. Is it harder as a walk-on against scholarship quarterbacks?
Well, they're gonna tell you it's not harder, Neil, but I'm here to tell you it is.
It is. Right? I know. Yeah, right. It's gotta be.
You know, and it, you know, it's a different path. You know, and not a lot of players want to go that route because of how difficult it is. You know, and you know, it's just for me. You know, I just wanted to earn respect of my teammates and earn the respect of the coaches around me when I first got to Penn State. And like I said, I did that by just, you know, getting extra reps in the weight room, extra reps after practice, you know, studying film, understanding the playbook, you know, taking a lot of mental reps, you know, and just proving that just because I wasn't on scholarship, just because I wasn't getting a lot of reps in practice or I wasn't a starter yet, that it wasn't going to discourage me, because I knew that I was going to be able to grow into a good player, and that I was capable of playing at a high level. And like I just mentioned, I just needed an opportunity, and I believe that opportunity was going to come. So I just continued to prepare for it, so that when it did come, I can make the most of it.
That's great advice. And also it kind of transitioned into your NFL career then, I guess. Well, you tell me, because, you know, no guarantee of starting when you're a backup at times, and you have to prepare every week. And then, you know, you find yourself in the middle of Wembley Stadium, suddenly playing the game because Derek Carr's gone down, or, you know, whatever it may be. I guess you had to be ready in the same way, but not necessarily having all the glory that would go with being the, you know, the Russell Wilson of the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, it's, you know, it's definitely a lot harder to, you know, come off the bench in the middle of a game, you know, than it is to,
right,
you know, become the starter and have a full week of practice and preparation. But like I said, it all goes back to just those mental reps. You know, when, you know, the first team offense is going through practice and, you know, you're standing in the back, you're making sure you're paying attention, making sure you're going through your calls and your checks, and, right, you know, understanding why the starting quarterback is throwing it to where he's throwing versus this coverage or that coverage. So, you know, you just, I think it's just about buying in and staying in it, and just kind of believing that, you know, your chance will come one day. And Neil, you know, even if your chance doesn't come one day, it's about doing your job, being a good teammate, and helping, right, the team win in whatever way that you can. So,
last one, what was it like, the whole XFL experience? Because obviously you were an NFL pro, you go through all of what you get used to in the NFL, and then suddenly here's the XFL where everyone can hear you mic'd up, they hear the plays, there are cameramen on the field in celebrations, just trying to be a bit different, I guess, that league was. But it must take some getting used to as a player, right?
I mean, yeah, Neil, you know, but at the same time, it's still football, you know, it's, right, still, yes, an emotion. It's still an emotional game. You know, you're still competing. You still want to win, you know, and I enjoyed the opportunity the XFL gave me. I really did. You know, I wanted to use that XFL opportunity to show that I was capable of playing at a high level still. I wanted to get back to the NFL. Now, obviously, unfortunately, you know, for me, that didn't happen. But again, you know, I thought the XFL was great. I think it's great for, you know, players like myself who want to get back to the NFL. And I also think it's great for younger players who just need more time to develop, because we had a lot of talent on our football team and there was a lot of talent throughout that league. And, you know, guys that had the ability to either, you know, be a part of NFL teams or on practice squads, they just needed the coaching. You know, they needed to learn how to be a professional, and, you know, they just needed a little bit more time to grow into the players that they could have become.
I mean, I always thought that with NFL Europe when it went away, you know, it was a great league for quarterbacks. It really was, you know, it was, and I think it's missed now. I think quarterbacks and offensive linemen benefited greatly from NFL Europe. All right. Good stuff, Matt. Thank you for today. Good luck in the game picks.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. So there's Matt McGloin, former NFL quarterback. Just to let you all know, then, you can get involved with us on socials at the ANR podcast. Tell us your game picks, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now. That's it for this week's episode of Game Picks. Thank you very much for listening. Episodes will be dropping every Thursday throughout the 2020 NFL season, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All that's left now is to say thanks to our special guest, and may the best NFL fan win. Apix is presented by myself, Neil Reynolds. Gary Hayes is our producer, while Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. GamePix is a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network. We'll see you next Thursday for more GamePix.